Bay Area Studios. This is KPIX 5 News.
I got out of there with my life, and I feel thankful. Mainly it's my kids. I lost everything, but things can be replaced. Kids can't.
They left with nothing but their lives as they escaped the campfire, but others weren't so lucky. The number of deaths in Butte County more than doubles. It is 6 a.m. on this Sunday, November 11th. Good morning. I'm Devin Felix.
And I'm Melissa Kane. A red flag warning is in effect in Butte County, where firefighters are still battling the campfire. The number of deaths in that fire has jumped from 9 to 23.
We are doing everything we possibly can to identify those remains and make contact with the next of kin. My heart goes out to those people. I will tell you that this weighs heavy on all of us.
Investigators say four people were found dead yesterday in the town of Conco. 10 others were found in Paradise, and some were found in burned out cars, others in what remained of their homes. More than 6,700 homes and businesses have been destroyed. 105,000 acres have burned along Highway 70. The flames are closing in on the Big Bend area just northeast of Lake Oroville.
That red flag warning extends until 4 o'clock this afternoon. Overnight, fire crews were dealing with wind gusts between 35 and 50 miles per hour. More than 4,000 firefighters are on the fire lines in Butte County. They have come from all over the state desperately trying to contain the campfire. And with winds continuing to blow from the north, south, this community of Berry Creek is right in the fire's path. Now, firefighters worry that conditions are similar to what they saw on Thursday when the campfire roared into Paradise.
These very strong winds combined with very dry conditions are going to create those critical conditions for firefighters.
It's very steep, it's very inaccessible, it's full of fuel.
Asking everyone in communities in Butte County to stay alert for updated evacuation orders.
And now on to air quality. And now on to air quality. A half marathon in Napa today has been canceled because of the smoky conditions. And yesterday's Alzheimer's Walk in San Francisco was cut down from 3 miles to just 1 mile. And looking live over San Francisco, you can see some haze there above Coy Tower. And last night on the waterfront, we spotted something that may be making conditions worse. Now, despite the unhealthy air, a fireworks show went ahead as scheduled last night at San Francisco's Pier 39. It capped off an all-day celebration called Diwali, a traditional festival of lights popular in the Hindu culture. Organizers say they did consult with local officials.
We checked with all parties, and the fireworks team confirmed that there was no safety or air quality concerns, and that's when we took the decision to go ahead. But we definitely took the scale of the fireworks down. We would like to have it longer.
And let's go on over to Julie Watts, who can tell us more about smoke and the Bay Area.
Yeah, we still have very unhealthy air quality across the Bay Area. Everyone's seeing unhealthy, very unhealthy for the North Bay and East Bay communities today and continuing through the rest of the weekend and likely on into the beginning of the work week, because we don't see a big shift in the overall wind direction really until we get to midweek. That red flag warning continues through Sunday. All of our higher elevations, North Bay, East Bay, Santa Cruz Mountains, we're seeing those northeast winds at 15 to 30 with gusts up to 60 miles per hour, very low humidity, and that makes critical fire conditions. In terms of that unhealthy air, we still have that northeast flow around this area of high pressure that is carrying the smoke some 200 miles, even more than that, south. So all of us are going to be inundated with that fine particulate matter. Experts are advising people to stay indoors if at all possible. Back over to you.
Dozens of people who fled the campfire are reuniting with loved ones while the search continues for other families. The Butte County Sheriff's Office is working on more than 100 missing persons reports. One family is desperately searching for their missing 12-year-old daughter.
Really wish you went home, but we're really worried about you, so please come back soon.
On top of the search for their daughter, that family is also trying to cope with the loss of their home that burned down on Thursday. Now, meantime, officials held a community meeting on the campus of Chico State. The campus is shut down because of the fire. One resident, however, did get some good news about their missing loved one.
Anybody seen her? Flyers are all over the place.
Seen her today.
Where?
Walmart.
The mayor of Paradise, where many of the homes were destroyed, also spoke at a community meeting.
We are committed to rebuilding and to making our town paradise again.
Cats, horses, dogs, even swans are just some of the animals who have been affected and displaced by the catastrophic Camp Fire. One woman from Petaluma has made it her mission to rescue them and get them to shelters.
Sometimes people aren't home when they block the roads, or they don't have time to get their animals, and nobody wants their animals to burn up in the fires. Nobody wants that.
That organization has rescued animals from other CAL fires last year, spanning from Santa Rosa to Mendocino counties. Now, if you want to help the fire victims, the Red Cross, the United Way, and the Salvation Army are all chipping in and collecting relief donations. Airbnb is asking users to add their home to the list if it's available for evacuees to use. All of this information is posted at KPIX.com.
Crews in Seattle remain on the scene of a massive fire that began in a lumberyard warehouse and quickly spread to several other buildings. It began around 9 o'clock last night near the city's ship canal. The fire department says much of the blaze was under control within a couple of hours, but at least one building partially collapsed. Some witnesses say they were amazed at the bravery of the firefighters.
And just people going inside the flaming buildings, I can't. That's very brave.
The fire caused some power outages, but there are no reports of injuries and no word yet on a cause.
Turning to campaign 2018, election day may be history, but once again in Florida, it could be quite some time before some key races are settled. Three statewide contests in the Sunshine State, including the closely watched U.S. Senate race, are all headed for recounts. In that Senate race, Republican Governor Rick Scott still leads Democratic incumbent Bill Nelson, but that lead has shrunk to less than 13,000 votes out of nearly 8.2 million casts. Now, votes in the governor's race will also be recounted. Republican Ron DeSantis leads Democrat Andrew Gillum by less than 34,000 votes.
I am replacing my words of concession with an uncompromised and unapologetic call that we count every single vote.
The state agriculture commissioner's race is also due for a recount. Now, all of this brings back memories of the 2000 hanging chads and other issues when it forced recounts in Florida, causing long delays for the results of the Bush-Gore presidential race.
Phil Mateer and I got some thoughts on the election results from former mayor of San Francisco, Willie Brown. Phil started off by asking him, is this a red tide, a blue wave, or a purple puddle?
Well, it's turning out to be far more of a blue wave than I ever thought it would be. I really did think it was purple, and I think I said that on the show. But it is turning out to be something different. For an example, in Nevada, it's a blue wave. You got the senator, you got the person who becomes the governor. You've got both houses of the legislature. It's unbelievable. A little bit more purple in Arizona, particularly if that woman wins the U.S. Senate seat there. But then in other parts of the country, like Ohio, it either stayed red or became redder. And believe me, all over the nation, there was that kind of a trend. So you cannot say wave all over the country. You have to isolate the jurisdiction and give the analysis accurately at that level.
And we still don't know in places like Georgia and Florida what the actual final count is going to be. So it's hard to say. Republicans seem to be having a pretty good night in those races, but now we're finding there and in Arizona, it's actually closer with the Democrat in those races than we thought initially.
Except I would be more optimistic on the Democratic side about Arizona than either Georgia or Florida. Mm. I'm just firmly of the opinion that until Mississippi elects a black at some level, those other two states, not going to happen.
Okay, so question. Kavanaugh, the effect of the Kavanaugh hearings, the Democrats thought that that was going to energize their base over the allegations of sexual harassment and him being approved by the Republicans and what they perceived as the mistreatment of the victim in this case versus the Republicans who supposedly were upset about how Kavanaugh was treated.
Well, ultimately, Kavanaugh became the victim. The Democrats played the Kavanaugh thing totally and completely wrong. You really do have to have a lot of courage to stand up and admit you don't have the numbers, so let's get this fight over with. That's what the Democrats should have done July of 2018. No way would Kavanaugh become a victim, And therefore, by the time of the election in November, there were people motivated to go help the victim. You think it would have been Mrs. Ford? No, it was Kavanaugh.
Well, and he also handed over, the Democrats also handed the Republicans, a very popular line, the jobs, not mobs line that came straight from what was happening with the Kavanaugh hearings. And now we see that as several senators, several Democrat senators who were in red states lost their seats. And the one Democrat who voted in favor of Kavanaugh's confirmation, Joe Manchin, West Virginia, he got reelected.
So, real quick, pick one. Who won, blue or red?
It's a tie.
Oh, that's your sister.
Wait a minute. It's a tie because Nancy now rises to the top of the heap.
Mm-hmm. We'll get to that next one. We'll get to that next one. All right. All right. It's a tie. All right. Back to you guys.
I think you got cut off there, but Mayor Brown said that Chuck Schumer was going to drive an Uber. That was his fate.
Well, you know, I think one of the most consequential things is the fact that the Democrats regained control of the House, and with it, subpoena power, the power of oversight. So that is going to be a significant change.
It is, and they will also be able to, of course, stop pieces of legislation that come out of the Senate. They'll be able to bottleneck that or force a negotiation on their terms, which is something that Nancy Pelosi says she's very good at and is looking forward to doing. But remember, all this happens in January when people get sworn in. They're not in control just yet.